Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 6 years now, we've been asking the franchisors to own one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, and I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and we have a great show today. We're meeting with Chris Hearn, and Chris is the CEO and co-founder of Mercantile Capital Corporation, a commercial lender specializing in small business commercial real estate projects. And today, we're going to talk to Chris about his first book, The Entrepreneur's Secret to Creating Wealth, and that's coming right up on Franchise Interviews. So stick around, because we got a great show.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand? The opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach.
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Franchisers, are you looking to reach aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise? Are you looking to reach a highly educated audience on franchising? For over 6 years, Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys, and our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919. That's 610-905-2919.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 6 years now, we've been asking the franchisors one-on-one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott. I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and as we were saying earlier, we have a great show today. We're meeting with Chris Hearn, and Chris is the CEO and co-founder of Mercantile Capital Corporation, a commercial lender specializing in small business commercial real estate projects. And today, we're going to talk to Chris about his first book, The Entrepreneur's Secret to Creating Wealth. Hey, Chris, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
I'm great, Marty. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Chris. It's very rare where I get to, I feel like I know the guest already. I've been reading your blog, subscribing to your newsletters. I've gotten to shake your hand a couple times at franchise shows, so it's great to finally have you on the show, Chris. And congratulations, by the way, on your first book.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, it's we've seen each other around for a while, and I'm glad to hear you've been on my list for quite some time. That's great.
Well, I say to my world, I said, when did he have time to write a book? You know, you're all over the place. You know, you're on TV, you're doing interviews. So, and it must have been a great feeling for you. What was the feeling like when you got to see that book for the first time, Chris?
It was terrific, Marty. It's something I've been working on for, I'm ashamed to admit, 4 years. And
that's
quite
okay.
frankly, the reason it took so long, which actually I wrote about in a Huffington blog column
mm-hmm.
that I write pretty regularly. But
yes.
It took so long because I'm running Mercantile. I know you probably know about Kennedy's All-American Barber Club, which is my
mm-hmm.
franchise
mm-hmm.
that I run. And
that's
so
right.
it's just, you know, when you got two fast-growing companies, sometimes it's tough to actually write that, you know, seventh chapter at night between 10 p.m. and 1 in the morning or whatever the case is. So it took a little while longer than I expected.
Well, that's okay. I know you're a family man, too, and you have all those other things, too,
yep.
in your life, you know. So I think that's fantastic. What prompted you to write the book, Chris?
Well, the biggest thing is, you know, we focus mostly on a commercial loan here at Mercantile that's not very well known in the entrepreneurial space, small business lending, whether it's franchisees or otherwise. Just a lot of folks don't know about it, and that was part of the reason why I wanted to write the book. That's one of my big secrets. The other big thing is I feel like what we do makes such an impact on the lives of our clients that it's worthy of enough of a story to tell in it by itself, and I wanted to make sure that the book served an educational purpose and really taught people a step-by-step process and how they can use their commercial real estate to create wealth for themselves when they're a business owner. Because it's something that a lot of times, I've seen it happen countless times, Marty, where somebody will talk to me 5, 6, 8, 10 years after they started their business, and they never had that light bulb moment go off where they said, gosh, why do I keep paying my rent and getting my landlord wealthy when I could pay myself rent, just like I moved out of an apartment into a home. And those are some
right.
of the things that we talk about in the book and exactly give people a blueprint for how to do that.
That's great. Some of our guests might be saying, Chris, what gives you the authority to write a book on this topic?
Well, so far, as of the end of last year, 2012, which is another record-breaking year for us, we financed over $400 million worth
wow.
of commercial property for small business owners, usually in the half a million to, say, 5 million range. It's kind of our niche, but we do bigger projects as well. Right now, to date, since I started the company 10 years ago, we've now financed $1.4 billion worth of total projects. So I think
that's
that
amazing.
Probably helps a little bit, and I'm also a commercial real estate developer and investor myself, sort of on the side. So I hope that would partly be it, but apparently the Small Business Administration also thinks so. They've named me the Financial Services Champion of the Year 2 of the last 4 years, and
yeah.
we've done a whole bunch of other stuff as well. So yeah,
that's fantastic. I mean, when you say those numbers in the billions, I mean, what does that feel like for you being the co-founder of the company, Chris?
Well, candidly, Marty, as you probably already guessed, I probably don't slow down and appreciate it as much as I should. It's one of my mantras to celebrate my wins more often. I think a lot of people
right.
don't do that, so
yeah.
I'm trying to do that more often. But, you know, sometimes when I take my eye off the ball just for a little bit, something will crop up, some fire crops up that I got to put out, and so I just keep my nose to the grindstone pretty well. But it's fascinating. It's actually, I've
yeah.
laughed about it a few times over the years where if I don't actually know the borrower, which I'm sad to admit that publicly, but sometimes I
right.
don't know the borrower, and that's okay because we've
yeah.
just grown so quickly, so fast, and I've got enough competent, capable staff that you know, I don't have to know every single borrower that we lend money to, and that's okay, you know.
That's true. That's true. Maybe you could tell our guest, Chris, what is Mercantile Capital Corporation?
All we do is we finance commercial real estate for small business owners and entrepreneurs all around the country. We've now financed, as I said, about $1.4 billion in total project costs since we started 10 years ago. Obviously, we started very small. I think our first year we did 12 loans, and so that gives you an idea of how quickly we've ramped up. We've closed loans now in 40 states, Puerto Rico, and the District of Columbia. And this is all we do. I don't do lines of credit. I'm not looking to try and open a business bank account for people. I don't want to talk about their payroll or their retirement plans or anything else like that. I just like to do – all we do at Mercantile is finance the commercial real estate for small business owners. That's it. And I'd like to think we kind of do it better than most people, if not everybody. But, you know, obviously our clients would have to tell you that.
Right, right. Well, it's amazing, you know. I mean, the company is based in Florida, Chris, yet, you know, we're very familiar.
Mm-hmm.
I'm up here in Pennsylvania. I mean, how have you
yep.
been able to establish this national presence?
Well, I mean, we marketing was very important to us from day one. I knew when we started we were kind of a David competing against a lot of Goliaths in our industry, and you know, we weren't going to have branches on every street corner. We weren't going to have hundreds of thousands of employees, billions if not trillions of dollars worth of assets. So we'd have to do something a little bit different, you know, kind of go against convention, defy the norm a little bit. And so marketing became something that we've been focused on for many years. You know, I've written for just about every publication you could imagine. On the national scene, a lot of regional stuff, a lot of niche publications, obviously in the franchise space, for instance.
Right.
Done a lot of TV, done a lot of radio, a lot of things just to get our message out there, and it's worked well. And I think the other part that how we've become pretty well known in this space is we've maintained our focus all along. I mean, what I mean by that is we live in a world of specialists now anyway, and maybe I was a little early to that, perhaps, I don't know, but we wanted to just provide this particular loan just to our clientele that we focused on, you know, which was a small business space, and just provide it for commercial real estate. We've been trying to do that from day one. We haven't deviated, you know, we haven't done that thing where, you know, we kind of learn in grade school that you can be a jack of all trades and a master of none. I sort of take that to heart. I believe that we should do one thing extremely well and focus on that one thing. And if you do that, and perhaps counterintuitively say no to maybe perfectly decent business, but always come back to your core competency, I think it actually it helps your reputation and elevates your standing in the marketplace, and that's what we've done from day one.
Yeah, it sounds like an entrepreneurial lesson right there. Maybe we could jump back to the book, Chris. What sort of practical things do you cover in the book, if you could say, without giving away the whole book?
Sure. Well, I mean, you know, I've already kind of given away sort of the two overarching themes, the secrets per se. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in the book that are perhaps secret that people don't know about. But you know, we talk about why people should own rather than rent. It's not for everybody. I'm the first to admit that. You know, I get, you know, somebody will read an article I'm quoted in the Wall Street Journal or USA Today or see me on Fox or something like that, and we'll get calls and they'll say, I want to, you know, you convince me, I want to buy my real estate, and we'll find out that they're just with an idea in a garage and haven't, you know, don't even have a business plan. Oftentimes I talk those people down off the ledge and say, you're not ready. You know, go keep your precious capital, develop your business, prove your business in the marketplace, and come back to us in 3 or 4 years when you've really found your established niche in the marketplace, and then you'll probably be ready for something like this. So it's by all means not a get-rich-quick scheme. In fact, somebody else interviewed me about a month ago actually called it a get-rich-slow scheme, which perhaps sounds, on one level, sounds better. Maybe on another it doesn't, but I'm more inclined to go in that direction. But so I talk about why to own versus rent. It's very similar to why people move out of apartments into homes. When you're a business owner, this is one of the key advantages you have, where if you become a big business and, you know, publicly traded business, let's say, this isn't a very good strategy. In fact, most Wall Street analysts don't want publicly traded companies to actually own their real estate because it's a drag on their return on assets, which is a key metric they look at. So I talk about, you know, how do you pick real estate? What works for you, for your business? How do you pick a commercial real estate broker? I'm a big believer in teams and making sure that you have a strong, detailed, competent team of advisors. One, of course, should be your commercial real estate broker. I don't recommend people go with their brother-in-law, the residential realtor, who sometimes does condo sales. That's usually a recipe for disaster. I talk about how to pick a competent lender in the book. There's a whole chapter on that. I talk about the different small business loans that are available in the marketplace, the pros and cons of each. I talk about that in a chapter in the book. And then, of course, I talk about a chapter about what I call the smart choice alternative, which happens to be the loan that we specialize in that not a lot of people know about. So it really sort of steps people through this entire process from A to Z. And at the end of every chapter, I actually highlight one of my past clients. We don't talk much, actually, about commercial real estate in those interviews, but we talk a lot about their philosophy and how they got to where they are and what they've done, and, you know, sort of their business careers. And there's a ton of lessons right there in those sections of the book, and I've heard from a lot of people that's their favorite part of the book. So I think that's great.
That's fantastic. We've talked about that a lot on the show too, Chris, over the last 6 years, you know, is working with teams like yourself, you know, whether it's hiring a franchise attorney or just someone who really specializes, you know, they have that niche in the market. They just do that one thing and they do
That's right.
Particularly well. You know, one of the things I loved about your company is your tagline. It reads, "Fulfilling dreams with smarter financing." What exactly is smarter
right.
financing, Chris?
Well, for us, again, the smarter financing is we rechristened the Small Business Administration 504 loan, the Smart Choice Commercial Loan. And the reason we did that is for a number of reasons. Number one, it's one of those inane government names, you know, like 529, 401k, 1003, and all these things that some people know about, some people have no clue about, but it doesn't really describe anything. And so in most cases, you know, I have, believe it or not, I actually use my own product. I'm a big believer in doing that and actually buying what you sell, which I think is another lesson entirely in itself. But I have a 504 loan myself. I had other alternatives, conventional financing, SBA 7A financing, other things. But I used a 504 loan myself. The reason I did it is because it gave me the highest cash-on-cash return, which is really important for small business owners to look at that. And it's not necessarily a metric that everybody is going to come to just intuitively, okay? They should, because small business owners are very well versed at stretching every dollar they have to try and as far as they can. But when it comes to real estate, I don't know, something gets lost in translation perhaps. So, but the 504 loan, the Smart Choice loan, the reason I call it smarter financing is typically it's a third to half the down payment that ordinary conventional bank financing would require, number one. Number two, it usually is a little bit longer term, okay, than what you'd get from ordinary bank financing. And number three, for almost half of the loan, the way the structure of the loan is, you're actually getting the least expensive financing vehicle out there in the marketplace for a small business owner. So you combine those three features, let's call them, with the benefits that you're getting. What's the first benefit of lower down payment, dramatically lower down payment, is you get to keep more of your precious capital. That's smart for business owners to do that. Everybody understands cash is king for small businesses, whether you're a franchise or not. The second thing is your longer amortization on the loan. What that means is your monthly payments are as low as they can be. If a bank wants to do a 15-year amortization because they don't particularly like your restaurant property versus an option on a 504 loan and getting a 25-year, it's going to make a major difference in your monthly cash flow. And again, business owners have to be concerned about that. And the last piece, the major benefit of getting the least expensive financing, it means more of your dollars are going towards paying down principal as opposed to, you know, earning profits for your lender, which is what the interest payment would otherwise be. So you combine those three things, and there's many other reasons as well, but those are the main reasons why I call it smarter financing. The fulfilling the dreams part really comes down to, it's something that I came across years ago, having been in small business lending for a while now, about 15 years. It's that the same drive that moves people out of apartments into homes because they want to have their money work for them and they want to build equity and appreciable asset, the same thing applies when a small business owner wants to actually have a home for their business. The same thing applies. And it's oftentimes a dream that people have. You know, a lot of entrepreneurs have had the dream of, you know, they want home ownership, check. You know, they want to be their own boss, check. Well, shortly after they become their own boss, it's not too many years into the process that this light bulb goes off and they go, gee, I want to own my own property as well. You know, I don't want to be beholden to my landlord, yet my landlord wealthy. I want to, you know, maybe I want to paint a different color of the property that my lease doesn't allow me to do, or I'm going to make this addition that my lease won't let me do, my landlord won't let me do. I mean, you know, you can put it in your image, and that's pretty powerful for a lot of business owners, and that's why I call it fulfilling dreams. That's the piece of the tagline, and then obviously with the smarter financing, because we help do this every single day, Marty.
So it sounds like the book, too, it's not just targeted to new and aspiring entrepreneurs, Chris. It sounds like, I mean, like existing businesses could actually read this book, too. I guess you could say take their business to the next level, would you say?
I would exactly say that. In fact, I would almost say that the book is more targeted to existing business owners as opposed to brand new startup business owners.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, absolutely. But it has wide appeal. I mean, you know, I think it's going to fit for anybody in the entrepreneurial space because it brings up things that they may not be thinking about, and it gives them a blueprint on how to get there, which I think is really important. You know, so many people focus on income, but they don't always focus on equity, and equity makes a big difference. And it's definitely a finer point philosophically when you have this opportunity to own your own business and what it can do for you. You know.
So what do you think should be done, Chris, by the current administration to assist small business owners and really help the economy grow and also recover?
Oh, boy. You and I could probably spend hours on the phone talking about that.
I guess so.
I think, without being drawn into this too much, I think I will tell you that I think we have, as a culture, for whatever reason, I'm not really sure when it happens, I can't really quite pinpoint it, but I don't think, despite the rhetoric that was on the campaign, you know, last fall about small business owners, small business owners, small business owners, I'm not so sure that the greater society, the greater culture in America here appreciates the whole risk reward pendulum and what that means and what an entrepreneur really does and how they put their neck on the line. And you know, it's not about who built it or didn't build it. It's the fact of the matter is most entrepreneurs are the only ones that are going to put their blood, sweat, and tears into their business more so than any employee. I've never met an employee who works as hard as the employer. It's just certainly at the beginning. Maybe later on they can take their foot off the pedal a little bit, you know, downshift some as they're delegating certain tasks and whatnot, and that's fine. But at the beginning, the types of risks that an entrepreneur takes in our culture for the hoped-for rewards, I don't think that's appreciated as much as it ought to be. And by policymakers on both sides of the aisle in Washington and by the greater culture at large. And so I think the best thing we can do is start teaching entrepreneurship at the high school level. I don't know that you can teach it real well necessarily in college. You know, I think a lot of this stuff has to be learned on the job, so to speak, you know, in the trenches, you know. But I think setting up the beginning foundation is so, so critical. And actually, I have something about my book that relates to this we can come back to in a minute. But I'm very passionate about this very thing because we, you know, as a society, for us to continue our standard of living, and for, you know, we need innovation. We have to have innovation.
Right.
The only reason, you know, I heard from a guy recently who was overseas and he told me and he's not you know, he has a green card here, so he wasn't born here in the United States, but in another country. And one of the things he said when he came back is he hadn't been to his birth country in a long time, but he said the interesting thing about the United States versus other countries, a lot of countries in the rest of the world, is, you know, the homeless in America are still looking to for an outlet to charge their iPhone on. And I said, wow, that is really profound. You know, just like everybody else, you know, the one thing Steve Jobs never got right was the battery life on an iPhone, okay? And every conference you're at, you see all the Apple users sort of huddled around, you know, the electrical outlets like
right.
smokers do outside in the wintertime up north. But he said, you know, the homeless in America, they all have mobile phones, they all have email accounts. You know, it's not like being homeless in a third world country where it's true destitute. And my point is not to beat up on the homeless here or
right,
policymakers
right.
about it, but if we're to maintain that standard of living where even our homeless have mobile phones and emails and whatnot, then we have to have innovators. We have to have people pushing the envelope. We have to have people willing to take the risk for the hope for rewards. And we need a lot of things to change in our culture to make sure we have another generation of those folks coming up. And I'm not so convinced that we haven't almost poisoned the well a little bit with some of these things, you know?
Absolutely. I would agree with that. You've worked with a lot of franchises over time, Chris, and a lot of our listeners
mm-hmm.
are, we call them aspiring franchisepreneurs. They kind of have it in their mind that they want to buy a franchise, and you've been at so many franchise shows. And what's your advice, or what advice would you give to our listeners in their quest to buy a franchise? I think a lot of them seem confused because there's just so much out there, and they just don't know where to begin.
Well, I think, you know, as somebody who's, I've now financed about 7 dozen different franchise concepts, and it's actually one of the reasons I started my own franchise, so I am a little biased. You know, my mm-hmm. Kennedy's All-American Barbecue,
well, okay.
I think it's a wonderful franchise. But if I were going into it, I mean, you know, one of the things I have to consider is, you know, what kind of cash outlay up front. You know, by that I mean the franchise fees, what's it going to take to get the franchise concept up and running, and then what kind of potential returns can you expect from that? I mean, I've talked to some private equity folks in the franchise space a long time ago, many years ago, and they told me a metric that I've always thought about, which is the cost to get up and running versus the gross sales in year one. How closely are those two things aligned? If they're very close, or if the gross sales substantially are higher than your total build-out costs, you know, or your all-in build-out and franchise fees and operating capital and everything else all in, then that's probably a pretty good concept. And that doesn't even account for your net profit. I mean, the hope is that obviously you're going to be profitable, and that's a consideration as well versus what you spent. So to me, that's one thing. I think you gotta make sure that it's something of interest to you. You know, I don't think people buying, you know, and not to pick on Subway, because I've actually had the pleasure mm-hmm. of meeting Fred DeLuca a few times, and he loves Kennedy's, which is really interesting.
that's a
story for another time. But, you know, the Subway, I mean, you know, they have done fabulous, yeah. But unless you really love Sub sandwiches and the Subway system, the franchise system, and love interacting with people on a retail level, that's probably, despite what the metrics may be from a financial standpoint, that may not be the right franchise for you. You've got to really enjoy this a franchise and what it delivers. And hopefully it delivers more than just, in the case of Subway, it delivers more than just food. You know, in the case of Kennedy's, I'd like
right.
to think we are much more than just haircuts. If we're just a haircut business, then we're
right.
dead in the water. We've got to deliver an experience. I'm not sure how you can do that sometimes in some food concepts, but you need to strive for something higher. Does that make sense?
It makes total sense. Well said. I think we're going to have to put that one on our great quotes in franchising, which we have, Chris. So that's fantastic. What's next for you guys, and Chris? I mean, you're still, you know, a pretty, you know, fairly young guy. You know, so what's next?
What's next? I'm trying to make sure that my Connecticut locations for Kennedy's, which we have 6 of them, we have 13 now total, I'm trying to make sure that they are delivering the Kennedy's experience as we do down here in Florida where we started every single time. Doing a lot of interviews like this, Marty, trying to get more, you know, trying to get my book out there and the message in my book
right.
out to more people. And we're off to another great year at Mercantile. I mean, I got sort of, you know, I liken it to I've got 4 babies. I got my 11-year-old daughter, my 9-year-old son. I got Mercantile. I got Kennedy's. Maybe I got a 5th here back in October when I released my book. I don't know. But I don't know how much, you know, runway I've got on the book. We'll see sort of where it takes me. But I just, I enjoy what I do, and I like to have multiple balls up in the air. And I talk a little bit about that in the book, sort of my, you know, my background and how I got into all this stuff, and perhaps why I'm made of what I'm made of. And, you know, I just keep going, and I'm having a lot of fun, and hopefully helping a lot of people.
That's fantastic. You've certainly done that. What's the best way for our listeners to get more information on buying the book, Chris?
Well, the book is available online or offline. You can go to Amazon. It's probably the quickest and easiest way to do it. So just go to Amazon.com. You can get it at Barnes & Noble, of course, Books A Million, whatever your pleasure. Offline as well, a lot of offline booksellers. The other thing I will tell you, I alluded to it earlier, I'm very passionate about entrepreneurship, as you know, Marty, and if people buy 2 or more copies of the book and they send me the receipt, which I have all the details of how to do that in the book itself,
okay.
I actually donate all the proceeds that I would otherwise get to the Young Entrepreneur Foundation, which is a group that does exactly what I alluded to earlier. It teaches
right.
high school students how to become the entrepreneurs of tomorrow. So, you know, don't just buy 1 copy of the book for yourself. Buy 1 for yourself, buy a copy to give away, and, you know, make me donate to this great organization that helps tomorrow's entrepreneurs. I'd love to do it.
That's fantastic, Chris. It's been a privilege to finally have you on the show after 6 years, Chris. And I'm not going to wait another 6 years. I'd already like to invite you back next year.
I'd love to do it, Marty, anytime. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much, Chris. You have a great weekend, and we'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
Franchise Interviews. For over 6 years, Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys, and don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919. That's 610-905-2919.
Who's helping build America one small business at a time? Franchise Inc., a free consulting service.
For years, Franchise Inc., a national company, has been helping people franchise their business concept and help folks like you own a franchise.
With over 2,500 franchise systems out there, it can be awfully confusing. Don't take chances with your future. At Franchise Inc., we've done the homework for you. We can help match your interests and background with the franchise that's right for you. And we only work with proven franchise systems with a solid reputation and track record of success.
The consultants at Franchise Inc. can help you with your short and long-term wealth strategy.
Give us a call today and we'll send you free our best-selling book, Solving the Puzzle of Owning a Franchise.
Remember, it's not just owning a franchise, but finding the right one for you. Call us at 800-961-0420 for a quick consultation to discuss what's important to you, your business, and your future.
The service is free. The book is free. What do you have to lose? Find the business that's right for you.
Call Franchise Inc. at 800-961-0420. That's Franchise Inc. at 800-961-0420.
Hi, everyone. Another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. You know, we've been hosting franchise interviews now over 6 years and 300 shows, and during that time, we've had some incredible quotes on the show. Today, you're going to get to hear from Nancy Bigley, who is the CEO of Bottle and Bottega. And one of the questions we frequently ask on the show is, what advice would you give to aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise? And I thought Nancy's response was really quite brilliant. So here we go with another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising.
That came up this week, and how do we need to move through that? So.
Fantastic. You've been involved in franchise, like you said, not to make you feel old, but you've been involved in franchise for a while now. What advice would you give to our listeners? We call them aspiring franchise entrepreneurs, Nancy. You know, most of our listeners, they want to buy a franchise, and I think a lot of them just don't know where to even begin because, you know, it's just so many concepts out there today, isn't there? It's just like, where do you start? What would you say to them?
Yeah, you're right. It's so overwhelming, I know, and even just me when I was looking at, you know, the different concepts, and so I've been in their shoes, and it is overwhelming, and I think, you know, first and foremost, of course, like you know, the business needs to speak to you. I mean, I think you need to be passionate about it. The business model obviously has to work, so, I mean, just the baseline pieces there. I mean, the model's got to work. It's got to fit your revenue profile and you know, just hours of operation and all those sorts of things that make sense, and but then I think, you know, it's all about, too, once you get past that initial piece and it's something that you're excited about, you know, then you want to really talk to your franchisor. Like, you have to have a connection with your franchisor. You have to, you know, you have to see the vision. You have to feel the passion. You have to feel like it's somebody that you could be a partner with for, you know, minimum of 10 years. And is this somebody that I want a relationship with? And, you know, what are their franchisees saying? And, you know, are all the things that I'm hearing in discovery, you know, really what those franchisees are still feeling when they get out into the market? And do you connect with the franchisees? Because, you know, again, the thing that I love so much about franchising is it's such an amazing community. So I feel such a huge responsibility to bring together the right people, because you're building a community of franchisees and a family. And, you know, I love that we have all of these amazing backgrounds and, you know, smart people out there that, you know, look, there's a lot of great ideas out there, and not every one of us is, you know, I don't have every
right.
single answer, and my business partner, so we leverage all of these amazing people. So I think, you know, be passionate about whatever the business is, and really feel like you see that same vision, and you connect with your franchisor, and they're going to give you the support that you need to move forward.
I had a feeling you'd have a detailed response to that question, by the way.
Shocker,
which is
right?
Fantastic. We have these great quotes in franchising podcasts that we do. It's like, you know, advice to, you know, like 5-minute clips, and I think we're going to put that one in there. I think it's.
Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you again soon with another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising from Franchise Interviews. Take care, everyone.